Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The scriptures teach that at the moment of death, the soul goes either to heaven or hell. There is no place in between. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7 says, "The dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." Furthermore, there is no second chance after death to change yours or anyone else's eternal destiny. Nobody in hell has a chance of getting a pardon. No one in heaven has a fear of being evicted. Souls in heaven are secure in their bliss. Souls in hell, eternally condemned. Now, how a soul gets to either of these places can be seen in the account in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man and Lazarus. We are introduced to two men, both Jews, one an unnamed rich man who wore the finest clothes and ate the best food each day. Life was good. The other man has a name, Lazarus. His life, not so good. He's a beggar, covered with sores. The Greek grammar indicates that he was laid at the rich man's door on purpose. He didn't get there by himself. There, he ate the rich man's table scraps, garbage. And life, well, it may have been a little better at the rich man's door for Lazarus, but not that much, because he had to compete with dogs for his meal, and the only comfort he got was those dogs would lick his sores. Now, we don't know what else, if anything, that wealthy man did for him, but we at least learn from the account that he at least got to learn Lazarus's name, and he knew what Lazarus's status was in life. Now, in the Bible, names are important. If you know a person and call them by name, as the rich man did, that indicates that at a bare minimum, you have a relationship. Perhaps a master-slave relationship or a friendly relationship, but you can see what the relationship was between Lazarus and the rich man, master and slave. And that relationship at least permitted Lazarus to live on his property, and eat from his trash. Everything changed when Lazarus died. We read that the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. That's another name for heaven. There, Lazarus was comforted. He was poor no longer. He suffered no longer. As for the other fellow, when his time came, Luke just simply and almost dismissively writes, "The rich man died and was buried." No angels came for him because he went to hell. And there Jesus says he was in torment, and he looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in this fire." You know, it seems as though Lazarus is still somehow in the rich man's mind in his debt for all those table scraps, and that even in death, the rich man can boss the poor man around. He found out otherwise. He may have admitted to having Abraham as his father, but the problem is, he did not have Abraham's faith in the words and promises of God. That's key here. Knowing your pedigree is trivial. How far back can you name your ancestors? Well, it's nice, but what really counts in God's is faith. Who cares if you've got Abraham's DNA? You need to have Abraham's faith. The rich man could make all the appeals he wanted, but to no avail. Jesus says that between heaven and hell, a great chasm is fixed, and no one can cross over. There is no second chance for those in hell, and no fear for those in heaven. The wealthy man is not going to heaven, and Lazarus is not going to hell, even for a temporary visit. Now, one thing I find interesting in the account of the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus doesn't give us any ethical teaching here. Unlike the Good Samaritan, Jesus doesn't end by saying, "Go and do likewise." Our Lord does not use the beggar's misfortune to remind believers to take care of the poor. Nor does he comment on the rich man's treatment or non-treatment of Lazarus. Jesus did not tell this story in response to a question about how to live or act toward others. If ever a situation was ripe for social comment, it's this passage. But it never comes. That's because Christians are already following the Bible's many passages that have us look out for our neighbor. The Bible tells us that a good tree bears good fruit. Christ tells us that we should let our light shine before men so that God is glorified in all things. And let's face it, Christians have a long track record of helping people like Lazarus, lifting them up out of grinding poverty. If you or people you know have offered their time, talents, and treasures to help others and have let the light of the gospel shine, then through your stewardship, through your actions, through your good works, these all blessed people because of your saving faith. So while there are plenty of Bible passages that speak of good works and charity, this is not one of them, because we should already be doing it. Let there be no confusion about how we are saved. We read in Ephesians 2, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, not of works. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." You see, the angels take you to Abraham's bosom one day apart from your good works. Now, the rich man did not go to hell because he did not do enough for Lazarus. My goodness, of all people, he probably did more for Lazarus than anybody. No, he was condemned because he rejected God's gift of saving faith. And make no mistake also, the book of Hebrews chapter 6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Can you trace your ancestry to Abraham himself? Good. Fine. But so what? Abraham's pedigree without Abraham's faith does no one any good. John the Baptist and St. Paul the Apostle joined with Jesus in preaching this important truth. John the Baptist said that God could raise up stones to be children of Abraham. You see, God's grace is given to you through faith in Jesus Christ, and that's what saves you, not your ancestry, not who your ancestors were, not what they did. It's your faith. Now, you often hear that our Lord's parables have shock value. People who would hear it would be taken aback because Jesus is setting up a situation, you know, that can't be. But the shock value for this parable is a rich man went to hell for his unbelief. All those good things he did for Lazarus notwithstanding. But you know, it took the terrors of hell to convince that rich man that he should have been a missionary. See, but it was too late for him to change careers. Too late for him to go back and warn his brothers. He even shouted, "Abraham, send Lazarus." Well, it's too late to send Lazarus back. He's confirmed in bliss in heaven. Abraham simply says to this rich man, "Your brothers have Moses and the prophets." That's the Bible, the Old Testament. You got the scriptures. Read, learn, mark, inwardly digest, take to heart what the Word of God tells you. The brothers have the same powerful scriptures that everybody else has. Lazarus knew the Word of God, and he believed it, and he was saved for all of eternity. Don't resist the scriptures' call. Don't neglect to make regular use of God's Word. Believe God's law, which shows you your sins and shows you the coming wrath, and believe the gospel, which shows you God's mercy in Christ. The day is coming when it's going to be too late to repent and believe the gospel. But for us, that day has not yet come. So we must always repent of our sins. God's law holds hell before our eyes, but the gospel opens heaven. Jesus is being very, very deliberate in the account of the rich man and Lazarus. Even though he could very well praise good works or condemn the lack thereof, he leaves them entirely out. Works are excluded from consideration here because Jesus is talking about saving faith. The rich man who had everything in this life was not saved because of what he did for Lazarus, which again was probably more than anyone else ever did for that poor fellow in his life. He was condemned because he rejected the saving faith that God was offering him. Oh, he knew about it all right. He just didn't believe it. Lazarus, who had nothing in this life, did believe it. And now he reclines at table in heaven at the feast which has no end. You know, Lazarus was taken to the rich man's door. You know, you've been taken to a better door, the gates of heaven. And like Lazarus, you don't get there by yourself. This parable is about the grace of God getting you to the gates of heaven. It's not about human efforts. The great Martin Luther faced his own death with this parable in mind. On February 18th, 1546, the great reformer's last words were, "It is true, we are all beggars." It is true. The rich man and his brothers did not trust God's word, but we do. And before God, we're all beggars. But we don't have to content ourselves laying outside of the gates of God and receiving crumbs that fall from God's table. Because God forgives our sins. We recline at his table in the feast that knows no end. And we recline with Lazarus and all the believers that have gone before us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for the offertory on page 192.